An artist's residency in the Wairarapa has turned into a much longer stay for Kerry McGill after her flight back to the US was a coronavirus casualty. But the paint and film set scenic artist is making the most of her time at the New Zealand Pacific Studio Artist Residency Program in Masterton. There's a gallery of her art on the Standing Room Only webpage for you to look at while you hear her story. Back home, when she's not sketching or painting, Kerry works on film sets. First, though, I was curious to find out about the differences in the landscape between her home in urban America and here in Aotearoa.
My home in New England is a bit cozy in a way. We have little hills and little windy roads, and compared to here, we have a little sky. I'm in the city, and so we have a lot of light pollution, and just to see the stars come out over here, and the amount of space in the landscape and the height of the mountains. When you learn about this place as someone who's just walked on to either of the islands, they say it's a new geography and you can really feel it. It feels like it's not even done yet. Everything feels like it's in motion. It's a wonderful feeling.
When you come so far away to such a different environment, Kerry, did you come with firm ideas of what you might want to create, or did you come with a very open mind, kind of absorb what you see and the stories you hear from New Zealanders, and then something will come from that? You can approach your residency different ways, eh?
I think the most important thing in coming to a new place is to have an open mind and to really be willing to take in all of the new information. If you come with a preconceived idea or start comparing things to what you know, you're going to miss something. You're going to turn a blind eye to something. And so it's the best use and the most fun way to use creativity, as far as I'm concerned, because you're not working with things and thoughts of the past projects you've had. You're really letting the land and the people of the land give you this new information, and to process it can be a little bit overwhelming, but you just come up with some beautiful thoughts and some really new things and new directions that can be options for the way you work, the way you think. I mean, that's the beauty of visiting a place.
You've looked at themes like our changing environment, for example. Are these some of the things you're looking at here? I think even city planning you've looked at in your work. Or are you creating something different here?
You know, I think it's connected. I've had new thoughts here, but I think one of the themes that I've always worked with, I call it environmental portraits. And so we are not separate from the environment. And I don't go out of my way to make political statements in my artwork. My artwork speaks of the time that we're in. And I think New Zealand has been just a wealth of an experience because it's obviously in change, and it's obviously, because of the size, I guess, in comparison to the United States, you know, you feel things here on a different level and you see them happening. And this is a type of place where the history starts off, well, oh, it was underwater and now it's above water. I kind of wish every country's history was like that. You know, your geography is part of human history on that place. So you're aware that this planet is a living, breathing thing. And that's part of my art process as well with the map collage. It kind of questions the way we measure things, putting a grid over something that does move around, making these boundary lines that change over time, and questioning how you make something so large and movable, so compact, fold it up and put it in your back pocket, or now it's in your phone. We only get to see a little bit of it at a time, which is why I kind of like the big maps. I was driving from Masterton to Napier the other day. The mountains themselves feel like they're in motion. I've actually had a hard time trying to just paint these hills lately because they seem so thick and solid when I paint them. And I thought, something's going on here. But that day I had the thought that these hills are part of the ocean, have that movement still left in them. It really helped my drawing process because I approached these hills as if I was drawing water. And it was a wonderful, eye-opening experience. And so those are the kind of experiences I'm having here. This landscape still has such action in it, and you can't see a mountain or a hill as something still here because you know it's been moving around, and you know it'll move around in the future. And it reads as that. As you're driving by them, they read like waves.
It sounds like you've thrown yourself into your art. I know some people on residencies, they experience a lot. And I know you've thrown yourself into it and into the community, but they don't often produce very much. The work comes when they get home. Is it important for you to produce work while you're here? As we speak, you know, you've still got a few more weeks to go.
I would love to make a month worth of masterpieces while I'm here. But to be truth be told, the first month is a lot of, I call it puzzle piecing, because it's part of the creativity we talked about, where you come in with an open mind. And if you want to have a sincere reaction to the place, you have to spend some time really, for me, it's meeting people as well as seeing everything, knowing the social history and as well as the geography. And it's been really exciting, especially the public aspect of it, where people can come in and talk with you. And sometimes a simple conversation will really realign how you look at your art making. And it's really important on that level too.
Are you finding that your palette is changing as you're painting New Zealand's landscapes? Is it different? Are the greens different? Are the browns different to what you might be painting back home? Even the light, I think, is different here.
Everything is different here, absolutely. And I've come with a minimal paint setup, and I immediately had to run out and buy more colors. So yes, it's very different. And also, speaking of how the hills and mountains flow very differently here, my line work is different, and my visual ideas are different because of this landscape. I have some cultural ideas that were very cool too, that popped up out of just taking sketches. You know, Masterton is the home of the Golden Shears, so I decided I would walk right in there, and I would try my hand at drawing them while they were shearing the sheep. And so I'm very happy I started with the Junior's Night. That gave me a chance. And then when they actually used the hand shears, I had a chance there. So I got a few little sketches in. But then when the speed shearing started, forget it. Forget it.
Yeah, they're really quick, aren't they?
I, at one point, I'm like, I'm just scribbling. No, I can't do this anymore. And then I had another chance that I really treasure. I went to see the Kapahaka competitions up in Palmerston North, and it was at a theater, and so they said no cameras, and I'm like, rats, okay, I love taking my pictures, but I never work from pictures, so it's fine. I took out my sketchbook and I tried my hand again at capturing the gestures and capturing the movements, and that was a wonderful experience, where you all of a sudden start to piece in the idea of the movement of a person in these societies, of something that's very traditional to the societies, and you tie it in with the land.
You have another life also as a scenic artist for film.
Mm-hmm.
Is that how you started out, or as an artist, is that kind of branching out?
No, I graduated University of Massachusetts with art, painting, and photography, and I was waiting tables and putting on art shows, and was putting together these art shows, I met a lot of people, including someone from the film industry. And they said, did you even know this is a job? And I said, no, I had no idea we do that here in Boston. As soon as I found out it was a job, I was all in. It was wonderful. It's a very intense job. It's a very physical job. And I like that aspect of it. And I like the aspect that anyone you work for has a different style or a different process. And you're always learning, and you're always figuring, it's a real problem-solving job. You're always figuring out how to accomplish things, and I definitely appreciate that.
Can you describe a couple of your either most recent jobs or most intriguing jobs?
I worked on a film where they were remaking Noah's Ark, and it was in Long Island, and it was right before Hurricane Sandy was about to hit. And on Long Island, we had the Ark. And we had two versions of the Ark for whatever part they wanted to film, the top of the Ark and the side of the Ark. And most of it was made with logs carved out of foam. So it wasn't heavy. It had a structure with all these foam logs that floats. So when we heard that there was going to be a big storm, up until this point, it had just been snow. We'd been getting there really early and shoveling the snow off the Ark before we could then paint over the snow and add tar and straw and whatever, you know, you might use to make an ark. And the storm happened, and Long Island was closed for a week. And then when we finally got back there, someone said, it's amazing it didn't float away. But the workers had an inkling, and they said, you know what, let's lock it down with the scissor lifts and the lulls, you know.
Wow. So was there any damage?
There was damage.
Yeah.
There's always a little bit of damage, but that's part of it. Painting in the rain and working in the snow, it's all, you know. I was working on a film this past summer, and it was set in the autumn because, you know, Salem, Massachusetts is known for magic and witches. And in that job, we had a beautiful Victorian home and also a quasi-mansion by the ocean, gorgeous homes. And we had to transform them into basically a Scooby-Doo haunted house. So just a little bit of paint here, you know, maybe a creepy tree in front. And yeah, it passed. And it's stuff like that that's really pretty funny.
Are you going for, I'm just thinking in this day and age with the, even on TV screens, you know, the super high def, when you're doing your painting, do you have to be very mindful? I mean, for perfection, I guess?
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely, yeah.
Oh.
You have to get your colors perfect. And also you have to think about lighting, too, because everything is a lit situation. So, you know, sometimes we'll end up painting in the dark, but we'll paint for the lights. So it is a very detail-oriented job.
Are there tricks of the trade in being a scenic artist for film? You mentioned before things like tar when you were talking about Noah's Ark. I don't know, tea bags can stain, I know, for paper and things like that. Are there things like that that all these years on and these days of CGI and special effects and all that kind of stuff that is still kind of beautifully, quaintly historic or old-fashioned or traditional?
The old-fashioned stuff is the best. You learn the strangest recipes, a certain kind of malt liquor and Epsom salt to make frosty windows. You know, you have these like great little recipes, and everybody has their own recipes depending on who you're working for. And people will have these books called recipe books even. There's so many little like tricks of the trade, and you can't use green screen for everything.
So you got your own recipe book?
You know, I have a few of them.
Oh, it sounds like fun, though.
It does sound like fun. But, you know, getting up at 4 or 5 in the morning, doing 10 to 12-hour days for as long as you have to be able and ready to do all the work, and no matter what the situation.
So for something like the Ark, you're working close up, of course, as an artist, but do you have to keep stepping back to make sure that it works on the micro and the macro level, you know, close up and from distance? How do you approach it?
The movies are crafted in such a way that everyone has a department and they're department heads, and you're given specific projects, and you do those projects as best as you can. And if someone walks in and says, oh, we need 5 more rooms, we're going to open it up, or don't worry about that, that's being cut, just work on this area here. So you approach your job to the best of your ability, knowing that it will change according to the vision of the producer or how it's going to be shot.
Do you have those moments, and it has happened in film shoots here in New Zealand, I know, with friends in the industry, that the director or the producer will change their minds. They may want this, and then they see it, and they'll come back and they'll say, no, I want a different colour, or I want to change. Is that the nature of film, I guess?
It is. That's absolutely part of it. And
you can never take it personally, I guess.
No, either. Not at all. No, because, you know, it's their vision. And I tell a lot of people this that are kind of new to the job. You do your project. If the project changes, it's a new project. You just keep doing what they ask you to do. And you keep fulfilling. You're working on somebody else's project, and basically you're giving them visual opportunities to kind of choose what they like. The deadline never changes, but but that it's very common. It's very common, and that is actually, you know, I always will talk about, yeah, it's, you know, it's a hard working job, and you do your best, and it'll change, and you keep on doing it. And the nature of the job will make you tired, but you know you're helping someone achieve their project, and you're part of that team. And all of that, it takes that team to make that happen, and that's wonderful. And it also makes me really excited to run back to my studio and just work on my projects and by myself in my little studio with my music on. But Yeah, that's an aspect of the film industry that I also appreciate, that, you know, I'm helping someone achieve their goal and their project, and I'm building all these things that are fake and not real to trick the eye. And the thing that I love is I can walk away from that and know that when I go to my studio and work on my art, I feel like that artwork and that connection with people is real. And so I never lose energy for that.
Kerry McGill, artist in residence at the New Zealand Pacific Studio Artist Residency Program in Masterton.